理课堂听 class.com。And welcome to Studio Classroom Worldwide. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Steve. Welcome, friends. We are on the second day of Ben's blog. We have learned yesterday that Ben is living with a Chinese family, which is a great thing. It's a wonderful opportunity for him to start learning about the culture and the language.
That's right. And we learned that he has now settled into a good routine, and he is enjoying this family that he's staying with, even though it's pretty cold in the house. He told us yesterday that it's very cold. You have to wear a lot of clothes, but they do save money on the heating bills.
Okay, well, we're going to find out today that the situation at his school is pretty good, too. But he does have some challenges to face. Let's learn about those. Please turn to page 11. We're on line 1 for the reading.
Changing worlds. At school, I work hard at my 4-hour class every morning, and my new classmates add wonderfully to the group. A Canadian woman, 2 American men, and myself study under 3 different teachers who rotate over the course of the week. I keep a running record of things learned in class and post them to my blog daily, an exercise that proves its worth every time I use a new structure with my Chinese family. I participate in a writer's group and involved in a study of scholarly texts, attend church on Sundays, and get together with friends. I thought I was adjusting well, but shifting cultural perspectives is difficult and often involves pain. Even though my school environment has been welcoming to my learning, my established sanctuary was inevitably shaken due to my pride. Earlier, I had had the audacity to sit in class and tell one of my teachers that she was wrong and I was right. When she finally voiced her frustration and explained that I was rude and should not interrupt but listen with humility, I was surprised, touched, and embarrassed. For the first time, I was on the other side of the fence, looking at a different world. Thankfully, we never finished growing. I am thankful for moments like those when I have been forced to think beyond myself. Crossing cultures is challenging, but rewarding.
Welcome back. Well, let's start talking about Ben's experience at school. And remember, he's studying Chinese, and he's really working hard at it. He says he works hard at his 4-hour class every morning. So he takes 4 hours of Chinese in the morning, and he's meeting a lot of new classmates.
That's a long time to be in class. I'd imagine the class starts at 8 o'clock, and it ends at lunchtime, around 12. And for those 4 hours, he's studying Chinese. But he has some good classmates that help make the time pass.
That's right. He says that these classmates add wonderfully to the group. And that just means that they are a great addition. When they're in the group, it's just a better thing. And I agree, when you can study with people, sometimes it makes it a lot more fun if you're not the only person in the class. Have you ever taken a large class, Steve, with other students?
I have, Rachel, and it's a lot easier. There's less pressure when there's a few more people in the classroom, as opposed to being the only student in the class and all the focus is on you and there's a lot of pressure and it's very tiring.
That's true. I've definitely done the one-on-one tutoring and I agree. It's more fun when there are other people involved. And so who are these other people? Well, he mentions a Canadian woman, a woman from Canada, and 2 American men and himself. So it is still a very small class.
Okay, well, they study under 3 different teachers who rotate over the course of the week. So they have 3 different teachers, and maybe the classroom is the same, but the teachers move around. They rotate.
That's right, rotate. Another way you can think of that is to take turns. Now, of course, we often think of the word rotation and maybe how, you know, the rotation of the planets or the Earth or something like that, but we can also rotate. Steve and I sometimes rotate teaching, or other teachers rotate in and also teach here at Studio Classroom Worldwide. So this is a very good word to learn.
I like the way you said that, Rachel, to take a turn. Well, Ben keeps a running record of things he learns in his class, and then he posts them on his blog daily. That's a great thing. It's different from a simple record. A running record means he writes them down as they happen. He writes down maybe something he's learned in class or an experience he's had on the street.
Well, that's good, because then he writes it down right away so he doesn't forget it. And especially if you're learning a new language and you want to remember new words, you should write them down right away. Doesn't mean you have to post them to a blog, but it is good to keep a running record for yourself. However, he finds that posting these to his blog is an exercise that proves its worth every time he uses a new structure with his Chinese family. Now, exercise here, we're not talking about physical exercise like running or jogging or playing tennis, but it is kind of like a mental exercise, and he's taking the time to write something down, and we can also call that an exercise.
You're right, Rachel. I would say it's an exercise because exercise takes discipline, and it does take discipline to write something down on a regular basis. And Ben has that discipline, and he finds that it's worth it. It proves its worth every time, because something he learns in class, maybe a new word, maybe a new sentence structure, he can then go home and use it with his Chinese family.
That's right. And the people who read his blog, maybe it's other students who are also learning some of the same things, maybe they can also benefit from what he learns and use the same sentence structures or the words in their conversations. So I think he's not only doing this for himself, but I think he's also doing it to help others.
Well, actually, Rachel, I think this is a great thing to do for any of you out there who are studying a second language like English. It's great to keep a record. Sometimes you need encouragement. Go back and see what you've been learning and see the progress you've made. And Ben is able to do that. And I think it's a great idea for you guys to do that as well.
I agree, Steve. So maybe some of you should start keeping a better record and do take the time to write things down. Now, Ben is doing some other things as well. He is really serious about learning the language here, and he's participating even in a writer's group. And what is a writer's group, Steve? Is it just a group of people who meet together to write?
I would think so, Rachel. Maybe he's writing something in Chinese, and they do it at home. Maybe they bring their work to the group once a week, and then they share what they've written, and then they have discussion about those things. So it's a good way to improve your skills.
Well, it sounds interesting to me. I've never actually been part of a writer's group. But I guess if I wanted to improve my writing in English or in another language, then I would try to get involved in something like this. So Ben is involved in a writer's group, and he's also involved in a study of scholarly texts. Now, this sounds like something a little bit more complicated.
It certainly does. I can't imagine Ben is doing this in Chinese, but I guess he is studying scholarly texts. He's not studying comic books. He's not studying simple stories. He's studying scholarly things, things that require intensive study.
Yes, I think if you, for example, want to learn English and you want to study scholarly texts, maybe you'll study things like Shakespeare. We would consider those scholarly. A little bit more difficult than your average textbook. So these are some of the things that are taking up his time. And he's also involved in church. He attends church on Sundays and has get-togethers with friends. So I think the main point here is that he's busy, he has a wide variety of things that he likes to do, and he also takes time to kind of relax and hang out with his friends. He's not studying the whole time.
Right. I think it sounds like he has a good balance. Well, friends, this sentence we just discussed is also featured in today's usage tip. If you want to learn more about this kind of structure, you can go to page 11 at the top. There's some more examples for you. Right now, let's visit the chat room, and then we'll take a short break.
Welcome to the chat room. I'm Ken.
And I'm Doris.
And today we continue to look at the lesson, Changing Worlds.
Our writer tells us that he keeps a running record of things learned in class. Doris, what is a running record? Are we talking about the sport of running?
No, Ken. Here, the running record is referring to a record or report that continues over a period of time. It is always kept up to date.
So running here is an adjective?
That's right. Other examples of this usage include a running battle or a running commentary. The idea is that it is continuing.
Run 很简单的一个字，但是它有诸多的含义。除了指跑步之外 ，run 可以表示延续的、持续发展的。一个 running record 就是一个流水记录或者完整的报告。A running battle 是一个持续在进行的战争。
Well, we also should note that there are other usages of run that have very different meanings. One example is a running mate in an election.
Oh, a running mate is someone who joins a candidate in a race for an elected office.
That's right. A presidential candidate would have a running mate who is a candidate for vice president.
Run 也可以表示竞选、参选。一个候选人有时候会有一个 running mate, 就是一个竞选的伙伴，一个副手。
And we might also talk about the running time of a movie or a show, referring to the length of the performance.
Run 呢可以用在戏剧或者电影表示演出，所以 running time 就是演出或者放映的时间。Okay, students, it's time for a break. Studio Classroom, we'll be right back.
Welcome back, students. If you've just joined us, we're on page 11 and in line 13, and we've been talking about Ben. Ben, again, is in China. And before the break, we learned that he has had a pretty good time so far at his school, but right now, things are, it's not always easy, is it?
It's not, Rachel. He has good classmates, he has good teachers, he has a good living situation, but he's going to start experiencing or telling us about his experiences as he faces some challenges. Well, as we read on, he says, I thought I was adjusting well, but shifting cultural perspectives is difficult and often involves pain. So we're finding out now that he is going to have to start thinking in a new way.
That's right. Anytime you go to a new culture, you'll probably have to shift your cultural perspective a bit because no two cultures are exactly the same, especially Eastern and Western cultures can be quite different. So sometimes you think you're adjusting well, but you realize it's not as easy. Something will come up and you're thinking from your own perspective and you really have a hard time shifting or switching to a different perspective.
That's right, Rachel, and that's what shifting means. It means to change. It means to move slowly. He needs to move his thinking from one point to another point because it's not easy. He's actually going to go through a little pain, maybe a little emotional pain, as this transition occurs.
And it will probably happen again and again because it just is bound to happen when you're in a different culture. However, I think Ben realizes you can learn from each situation, even if it is painful, and maybe not make the same mistake twice. So let's read about one of the things that happened to him. He's first talking about his school environment. Now, he mentions that his school environment was welcoming and it's just been a great place for him to learn. But what does he say about his established sanctuary, Steve?
Okay, we have to take this apart for a second. An established sanctuary, something that is established, has been set in place. Remember, his lifestyle is coming into a rhythm where he lives, his school. So it's established, it's settled. And a sanctuary means a place that's peaceful. You can go there and find peace. Well, this peaceful place was now shaken. It's now becoming not peaceful because of some things in his life, especially his pride.
That's right. That's a good explanation, Steve. It's kind of like he's feeling comfortable. He's in this routine. He's in this rhythm. And then all of a sudden, it's like almost like an earthquake, you know, kind of emotionally. And his sanctuary is shaken, kind of like an earthquake would shake the earth. And this is due to his pride. So I think we can all understand what pride is, it's when you feel very proud about something. And sometimes when our pride is shaken, it can be a pretty painful thing emotionally.
You're right about that. Let's go back to line 17 for a moment and look at the word inevitably. And that means it's bound to happen. It will happen. It cannot be avoided. And, well, if you have a little pride in your life, it's inevitable that that pride will be hurt sometime.
That's true. So if it's inevitable, it's going to happen. And when you're in another culture, inevitably your pride will be shaken at some point. Maybe you think you're doing great with the language, and then you make a big mistake and you just feel very embarrassed. We could talk about that as an inevitable shakeup.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ben shares with us one of the stories that hurt his pride. He says earlier he had the audacity to sit in class and tell one of his teachers that she was wrong and that he was right. Can you imagine that? Actually, in class, telling the teacher, you're wrong.
Well, I've been a teacher and I've had students who've done that. And as a teacher, I always feel very threatened when a student has the audacity to say something like that. Even if they are right, you still don't want to hear it from a student. So Ben, he's kind of challenging the teacher here. And when we use that word audacity, you need to think of someone who's fearless, someone who's very bold, and someone who would dare to say something like this.
Right, someone who has the courage to say some impolite things. And certainly that was impolite for Ben to say to the teacher, you're wrong and I'm right. Well, the teacher didn't really like that. And as you said, Rachel, that's not a good thing for the teacher to receive in class. So she finally voiced her frustration and explained that, Ben, you're rude and you should not interrupt, but listen with humility.
Well, it sounds like she taught him a little lesson, doesn't it? She just explained to him that his behavior was rude. And I think that this was probably good of her to do that, because if she didn't do that, then he might try this again with another teacher. And I think all of us need to learn about respect, and it's good to respect other people, even if we think they're wrong. Mm-hmm. If they're in a position of authority, we should respect them. And there's always a right way and a wrong way to do things.
You're right, Rachel. I like that. You know, Ben could have waited until after class and spoke to the teacher one-on-one. That would have been a better way to talk about this problem he had.
That's right, instead of being humiliated in class. But I think it was a good thing for her to let him know that he was out of line or he was not acting appropriately. So she told him he shouldn't interrupt, but listen with humility. And humility, again, is when you're humble. And what was Ben's response to this? Well, he was surprised, touched, and embarrassed. He had a mixture of responses. It sounds like he was okay. When you say you're touched by something, it's okay. You're really moved by it. So maybe he even felt good that she took the time to explain to him why his behavior wasn't appropriate.
That's what points out to me too, Rachel. That sticks out to me. He's actually grateful that she did that, because he needed to learn that lesson. He says for the first time, he was on the other side of the fence looking at a different world. And thankfully, he says, you never finish growing. So he was on the other side of the fence. He's always used to maybe thinking he's right, but now he's in a different culture. He has to look at the culture from a different way.
That's right, from a different perspective. So thankfully, he's still growing, and he says he's thankful for moments like this when he's forced to think beyond himself. And crossing cultures is challenging, but it's rewarding. So students, we're not always going to read about great things that happen, but we're also going to read about times when Ben is challenged, times when he grows, maybe when he makes mistakes, but he learns from them. Well, students, it's time for us to look at a review skit right now, and then we'll be back.
Let's see. I have Chinese class every morning, and I keep a running list of all the things I learn in class. I post them on my blog every day. I also participate in a writer's group, and I read scholarly texts, and I go to church on Sundays. And I get together with my friends sometimes. I'm adjusting pretty well, but this is a different culture, and inevitably, I make some mistakes. Can you believe it? I had the audacity to tell my teacher she was wrong the other day in class. She said I was rude and shouldn't interrupt. How embarrassing! Oh well, we live and learn. Chinese culture can be challenging, but it's very rewarding. I think it's getting colder. Time for me to go and put on another sweater. How about you? Can I get you some hot water?
Rotate. New employees rotate through all the departments, spending 2 weeks in each one. Inevitably. You will inevitably grow up, so you should start making some future plans. Audacity. Jenny had the audacity to tell our boss he is unreasonable. I wonder how he'll react. The other side of the fence. When I went to a new school, I felt like I was on the other side of the fence. Everyone seemed to fit in but me.
Hi, 大家好，我是 Michelle。今天第一个重点，我们看 inevitably 这个副词，它的形容词是 inevitable， 意思是不可避免的或者是必然的。所以副词 inevitably 是指必然的或者是不可避免的。例如 ，He was inevitably fired by the company because of his inability to do his job。因为他的工作能力不足，想当然尔，公司就把他给解雇了。或者是 Peter's good looks inevitably attract a lot of attention. Peter 英俊的外貌一定会引起众人的注意的。接下来我们看到的是 audacity 这个名词。audacity 是指大胆、放肆或者是厚颜无耻。例如 ,He didn't have the audacity to question his father's decision. 他没有胆量质疑他父亲的决定。或者是 ,I couldn't believe that she had the audacity to blame me for her own mistakes.我不敢相信他竟然这么无耻，可以把他自己的错误怪到我头上。所以我们看的是 the other side of the fence 这个成语，它的意思是指处于和以往所习惯的完全相反的处境。例如 ,Tom was very successful at his previous job. Now that he started a new unfamiliar job, he's found himself on the other side of the fence. Tom 之前的工作做得非常成功，现在他开始一个不熟悉的新工作。他发现自己和以前的处境大不相同。And that's all for today's language tips. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Changing worlds. At school, I work hard at my 4-hour class every morning, and my new classmates add wonderfully to the group. A Canadian woman, two American men, and myself study under 3 different teachers who rotate over the course of the week. I keep a running record of things learned in class and post them to my blog daily, an exercise that proves its worth every time I use a new structure with my Chinese family. I participate in a writer's group and involved in a study of scholarly texts, attend church on Sundays, and get together with friends. I thought I was adjusting well, but shifting cultural perspectives is difficult and often involves pain. Even though my school environment has been welcoming to my learning, my established sanctuary was inevitably shaken due to my pride. Earlier, I had had the audacity to sit in class and tell one of my teachers that she was wrong and I was right. When she finally voiced her frustration and explained that I was rude and should not interrupt but listen with humility, I was surprised, touched, and embarrassed. For the first time, I was on the other side of the fence, looking at a different world. Thankfully, we never finished growing. I am thankful for moments like those when I have been forced to think beyond myself. Crossing cultures is challenging, but rewarding.
Well, friends, it sounds like Ben has had kind of a nice upbringing, maybe an easy upbringing from what we've learned last month. And this month, he's running into some problems, some obstacles, and he's learning how to overcome them, how to control himself, how to be humble.
That's right, and he's learning how to shift his perspective, to try to look at things from the perspective of the people that he's living with, the people that he's encountering every day. So, students, we hope that you will continue to join us as we learn about Ben next month and continue to read his blog.
Okay, well, friends, that's all the time we have. Please join us again for another lesson here at Studio Classroom Worldwide. Until then, bye-bye, everyone.
Goodbye.